Wednesday, April 10th, and we're talking tight ends on Fantasy Football today. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. What non-football sports should we banter about for a minute while Dave gets angry?
It's Kickball Wednesdays.
Not yet. No.
Softball Wednesdays.
Softball tonight?
Well, not for me. I have daddy daycare tonight, so no softball. Very upset about that, by the way.
Why? So you have a kid that you have to take care of?
Yes.
Damn it.
I need no pair for tonight. Adam, can you find me one?
I'll just check my wallet.
Thank you.
Dave, what's up?
Hi.
We're going to talk Gronkowski and tight end rankings. We have some other news and notes.
Why don't we just call this the Patriots podcast?
Yeah, there you go. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. Put podcast or football podcast in the subject line, and we'll read your emails. You can follow us on Twitter, at CBS Fantasy FB, at Dave Richard, at Jamie Eisenberg, at Adam Azer. And if you're a fantasy baseball fan, please watch Fantasy Baseball Today, live noon Eastern, on CBSSports.com. We answer your questions. We take your phone calls. It's awesome.
You get to see a lot of Nando.
And I would say...
And a lot of Adam.
That if the phone calls go over well for baseball, maybe we'll do them for football.
Ooh.
So everybody call in during baseball season.
Just make up a fantasy baseball question.
Or have a real one.
Do I start Mike Trout or Alexi Ramirez?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good
one. But then it'll get going, and then we can pass it on to football, and then no one can get their questions answered.
If you had to make a choice,
those lines are going to be full for football.
If you had to make
the
choice between Mike Trout and Alex Rios right now, who would you start?
Trout every day. I would never bench Trout.
How can you bench Rios? And I only say this because I'm a White Sox fan. No, I might have him on a fantasy team.
It would be. I would never imagine the scenario where I wouldn't be able to start both of them. Unless it was the keeper league. One out for the league. And the last thing to note is that Jamie and I have the best fantasy baseball team that has ever been assembled.
No one cares.
So that's why it was the last thing to note.
It was good.
Yeah.
Was good
okay, team. Here we go.
And since everybody thinks I don't like Adam, a lot of the credit goes to Mr. Adam Azer. For
people think you like me, don't they?
No, they think I hate you. Maybe that's just me. I think I hate you.
Maybe. Okay. Over the weekend, the Boston Herald wrote about Rob Gronkowski.
Not the Miami Herald.
I don't think so. And I will get to that in a moment, but I want to do the other notes first so we can have Gronkowski lead right into the tight end rankings.
So you just did that thing again that you do.
What?
We're like, okay, here we go. We're going to talk about topic A, but first we're going to topic B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that was A, a teaser, or B, a mistake that I made?
C, both.
I'm going to say that that was a teaser, and you think that that's a clever teaser, but as someone who...
I'll
listens.
Stop you right there because it was B. It was a mistake.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean to read it, but I did anyway. Emmanuel Sanders signed an offer sheet with the Patriots. Pittsburgh can match it within 5 days, or Pittsburgh can let him go, and the Steelers will get New England's third-round draft pick.
I believe it's 91 overall.
It is.
And New England also re-signed Julian Edelman.
They didn't resign him?
No, I don't think so. Is that how you pronounce that? Resigned, Julian Edelman?
Okay. Well, it depends on how you're using the word.
It's re-signed.
You see, Adam... Yes. It's spelled the same, but there's two different ways.
That would make it a...
What?
Is that a homonym?
Maybe.
I think so. You guys talk about Emmanuel Sanders.
Jamie, DJ you go
Mills.
First.
DJ
As
Mills.
He goes and looks up what a homonym is. Yeah. We are in the thick of off-season, ladies and gentlemen.
We say that every week now.
Homonym. Well, but it shouldn't
yeah,
be that
it's
way.
It's a homonym.
I'm a little disappointed.
Well, just
in
talk about him already and stop critiquing me.
Well, I wish we could have gotten to this point... You know, sooner than 10 minutes.
Just
into
to
the
let
podcast.
You know, just to let you know, this is the third version of this podcast because we start over because the beginnings of the first.
Dave
were,
complains
were
about
apparently
every
horrible.
Beginning. He never likes the show. Just talk about it.
I like
Sanders.
It once you get there. Are people
just
hitting
go,
the
nobody
off
is
button.
Nobody's hitting that. Just go.
What I'm saying is going to fall on deaf ears. No one's listening.
Yes, they are.
No.
What is your problem? Just Jamie. What do you think about Emmanuel
What's
Sanders?
What's the definition of a synonym? I think Emmanuel Sanders is in line for a good season this year. He's not an exceptional talent, but he's in an exceptional situation, whichever team he ends up with. Because if he goes to New England, he ends up really replacing Brandon Lloyd and stepping into that role. And I think he could do just as good as Brandon Lloyd did last year, if not a little bit better. Because you look at this receiving core and how it's shaping up. The fact that they bring back Edelman gives them a lot more options because now they can move Danny Amendola outside if they want to, if they need to, especially if Gronkowski's not there, so they can get a little bit more talent on the field and a guy who knows their offense. Edelman's not somebody you're going to draft in fantasy leagues, maybe PPR leagues. He had two games last year with double digits in fantasy points. He had three touchdowns on the season. He can't stay healthy. That's a big part of his reason why he really hasn't taken the next step. But there are some reports that he increased his straight line speed, you know, was able to get downfield a little bit better. In terms of Sanders, if he goes back to Pittsburgh, who are they going to throw the ball to right now if he stays? Just if he stays. Forget about if he leaves. If he leaves, they're a mess. But if he stays, it's Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
Because Heath Miller is not going to be ready for the start of the season coming off that knee injury. They let go of Mike Wallace. We're all well aware of that. The other receivers that they have in the mix are Plaxico Burress and Jericho Kadri. Yeah. I mean, it's a mess. So the report, I believe, was ESPN reporter that they're going to match the offer. They have to match the offer because they can't bring in a rookie receiver with Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown's not an exceptional talent. You know, Antonio Brown's really more of a number two. He's not a number one. Sanders more of a number three, not a number two. But in terms of fantasy-wise, Sanders is somebody that I would gamble on with a late-round pick because I think you look again, opportunity is there for him wherever he goes. Tom Brady's obviously great. Pittsburgh, he's going to be a starter. So I just think there's a chance for him to step up and be a significant contributor. Somebody's going to be on my sleeper list this year.
I can probably find a better late-round pick than Emmanuel Sanders, but it depends on how deep of a draft we're talking. I don't like the fact that even though his opportunities weren't great in his first 3 years, five touchdowns, that kind of bothers me a little bit. I wish that he had been a little bit more productive.
Yeah, but you say the same thing about Brown. His touchdowns weren't there either.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But at least Brown was still productive despite that 2 years ago. And then last year, you know, there were games where it really worked out for him, but they were outweighed by the number of games that didn't really work out for him. I think if he goes to New England, I think he'll be used a little bit more creatively than he would be in Pittsburgh. And I think I would like Sanders a little bit more if he did go to New England. But the opportunity is going to be there for him either way, which makes him being worth a late-round pick. But he won't be my late-round pick if he's a Steeler. He'll be my late-round pick if he's a Patriot.
And if he leaves, I mean, I wouldn't touch Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah, if he leaves.
At all.
Yeah.
Well, what if they draft a wide receiver?
Doesn't matter. I mean, you're still looking at Roethlisberger is a risk right now with Sanders because he was inconsistent last year. Mm-hmm. And that was with Wallace and Brown and Sanders. You lose Wallace, you lose Sanders. I mean, you know, if they line up Kadri as a starter or Burress as a starter, I mean, and
it's
without,
trouble.
And without Heath Miller?
Yeah,
it's terrible. And no running game either. I mean, you look at their running backs right now.
I don't think Emmanuel Sanders is anything great, but I think he might be worth a third-round pick. Like, if there was a – maybe that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, the NFL draft.
They do some sort of
– ESPN.
But I'm just – third-round pick in the NFL draft. Like, I think he's a little bit better than just a guy.
Yeah, ESPN Boston broke it down. Mike Reese does a great job there covering the team. And he did, like, I think a 5 or 6 point breakdown of what Sanders would mean to the Patriots if they're able to get him. And one of the first points he makes, which is completely accurate, look at the Patriots' history of drafting receivers. It's horrible.
It's terrible.
You know, so all the success that they've had is, you know, Randy Moss, other team. Wes Welker, another team. You know, Brandon Lloyd, for what it's worth, another team. You know, so while they've hit on tight ends, clearly, with the two that they drafted, receivers have been a little bit hit or miss. So for them to spend a third-round pick, which would be interesting, the other thing that he brought up in this story, which was just not fantasy-wise, but they'd be left with four picks in the draft,
and
which
two
is almost
would be seventh-round picks.
Unheard of.
For them.
For Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it would probably force them to trade out around one and maybe even down.
Well, they wouldn't have
two.
To necessarily. They didn't need to, but
right.
You know, as Dave and I were talking over lunch, as you were saying, you know, next year is the year to have picks as opposed to this year.
Right.
Dave, let's pretend you're Jim Schwartz and I'm the team's official website.
Okay.
Jim, how many catches do you think Reggie Bush could have this year?
I'm going to say somewhere 60, 70, 80.
Wow. That's a lot. Now, if you were a fantasy
he's not
analyst.
Lying. As an analyst, I don't think he's lying. I think it's pretty clear that they got Reggie Bush for the skills that he had in New Orleans and the skills that he had in Miami. Because he was kind of two different running backs in each stop. In New Orleans, he didn't get a lot of traditional carries, caught the ball out of the backfield, did very well there.
Averaged 59 catches a season.
Right.
And that was...
And one of those years, he had like an 80 catch.
88.
Was that as a rookie, right?
I believe so.
He had this monster rookie year as far as receiving goes. And then in Miami, last 2 years, at least 215 carries per season.
Yeah, right.
Showed that he
30,
can hang out there. I think he missed one game.
35 to 40 catches.
Missed one game?
No.
I know he missed one in 2011.
He missed one last year, too.
All right, so then...
At least one last 30. Year.
But point made... Not necessarily the huge injury risk that everybody thought he might be when he was traded to Miami.
With a full workload, yeah.
So I think they've already said they're going to make him the starter. He signed there to be the starter. His receiving skills are out of this world. I just projected him before this podcast started. Are you interested in an exclusive Adam Azer? Exclusive?
He did, by the way, play 16 games last year.
Okay.
But what is Reggie Bush going to do in 2013?
My early projection for Reggie Bush, 15 games, 216 carries, right in line with what he had in Miami. Nothing special there. 981 yards, averaging 4.5 yards per carry. 4 rushing touchdowns. 62 catches, so I'm going on the low side there.
That's very low.
The catches. I agree, but just, you know, there's more than one guy to feed the ball there in Detroit. Calvin will have his targets for sure. 62 catches, 478 yards, 3 receiving touchdowns on top of it. So I've got him with over 1,400 total yards, 7 total touchdowns. And as it turns out, that's going to be kind of in the Matt Forte territory as far as projections go. So I might be a little too high, but I like Reggie Bush. And I think if you're a fantasy owner that needs a running back in round 3, he's the guy to get.
Yeah, I don't know the 7 touchdowns if we'll get there. I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but I think that's probably where you'll be a little high on.
Mm-hmm.
But would you say Reggie Bush is better than Joik Bell?
Yeah.
Oh, you know how many catches Joik Bell had last year?
He had a lot, like 50-something.
52.
He? Yeah.
So he's going to be better than 10 catches, better than Joik Bell. So he's going to be, I think, in this 75 to 80 catch range. And I think it goes without saying that, as Dave pointed out, they brought him in for a reason. They're not going to sit him on the bench. The one area where he's going to come off the field is short yards and touchdowns, you know, at the goal line. And that's where LeSure will still play a role.
I've got LeSure with 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. He might even be higher than that.
Greg Schiano reportedly is not cool with Josh Freeman being the Buccaneers' starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Here's Josh Freeman. Here's the fire. Here's Greg Schiano lighting the fire.
Oh.
That's all it is. Okay. I mean, what are they going to do a quarterback if they don't go with
Just
Josh
for the record, Jamie's hand, Josh Freeman was above the fire. Yeah, so this would be lighting a fire under him.
That's right. Correct.
Yeah. But, well,
I got that without having to have a visual there.
I know. I just wanted to try to be funny.
I bet most of our listeners did, too.
Okay.
Well, not everybody turned it off, according to
you. Yeah, what choice do the Bucks have? Oh, yeah, that's right. No one's listening to us. The Bucks don't have a choice. But remember, they were in the market for a bunch of other quarterbacks. And apparently Carson Palmer wanted to go to Tampa Bay. And it just didn't work out. He went to Arizona. That was the team that bid something for him from Oakland. Tampa Bay wasn't going to bid anything to get Carson Palmer and redo his deal. It's a make-or-break year for a few quarterbacks this year, and Freeman's one of them.
Freeman or Roethlisberger?
You know, right now I have Roethlisberger ranked higher, but again, if Sanders leaves, I would probably look at Freeman.
I'd like to see what Tampa Bay does in the draft. And whatever they do to enhance that offense, maybe they get a tight end.
They have to get a tight end. They have to get a tight end.
I don't think they have to get a tight end, but it would really help them out if they did. And, you know, Freeman, I spent a lot of time watching some Carolina games this week, and one of the games was against Tampa. So I watched a couple of series with Freeman. And, he's sloppy. He needs to really improve his stuff. He needs better protection in the pocket. Last year he had a lot of offensive linemen hurt. That's going to change. And if they can get a better, just one more receiving threat on top of what they already have, and what they already have is a lot. If they can get that one last guy to put him over the top, he's very much worth. He's the guy I would take him ahead of Emmanuel Sanders with the late round pick as a quarterback with no more chance. Blue chip upside versus a receiver who's been mediocre his entire career.
Well, it's a short career that he hasn't got a chance to prove
himself. It's 3 years. He's had some chances to prove himself, and he hasn't done it.
Not like this.
Sleepy?
No.
Stretching over there.
Stretchy.
Mike Goodson is the favorite to be the Jets' starting running back, according to ESPN.
Yeah, I've changed my tune after, you know, reading this report. You know, Dave said it last week that he would take Goodson over Powell. I think that's the way to go. I'm still not sold on Goodson being a great running back based on his injury history and the fact he's going to the Jets, but... you know, if you have to decide between the two, it's Goodson over Powell.
And, you know, you got to look at Goodson as a running back that you're either going to draft as a backup, hoping that he explodes and that you can pawn him off during the season, or if you're kind of in a deeper league and you're desperate for a starter, whether it's as a flex or as a number two running back, he's one that you can go with. So I think there's some pretty decent upside with Goodson, despite the fact that the Jets are going to stink out loud.
And Darren McFadden says he's healthy. That's great, Darren. You have played 13, 12, 13, 7, and 12 games in 5 seasons. And last season, McFadden averaged 3.3 yards per carry, although in 2009 he averaged 3.4 yards per carry, and then in 2010, 5.2 yards per carry, so maybe he can bounce back. But
well, they are going back to the system that favors his running style.
Right.
You know, and the fact that they Bring in Greg Olsen. They bring in Tony Sperano, you know, to help the offensive line and the, you know, coordinator, or excuse me, the coordinator and the offensive line coach, respectively. It was clear that they got to get McFadden going to help their offense. This is not going to be a very good offensive football team when you look at what they have on paper. You know, whether it's Matt Flynn or Terrell Pryor at quarterback, Denarius Moore as their lead receiver. Mm-hmm. They lose Brandon Myers at tight end. So, you know, you look at this team as a whole and it's pretty bad. So if McFadden can't carry the load and successfully do so, they're really going to struggle offensively. So I still think McFadden's the number two running back. He's somebody that I would take in round three if I did not take a running back in round two. You know, so I went running back something else, and then McFadden's there. I would definitely gamble on him and just make sure I take a Marcel Reese if he's still the guy with a, you know, later round pick. But, I mean, you look at McFadden, if he stays healthy, he'll produce in this system, I think. But, you know, that's like saying
That's a humongous if.
Yeah.
And I almost think at this point you can't count on him staying healthy.
Well, of course not. I mean,
like you already can pencil him out for three games, the minimum.
You look at McFadden and his injury history, it's a risk. You look at Ryan Matthews and his injury and what he's – or his injury history and what he's become, he's a risk. You look at DeMarco Murray and where he's trending, it's a risk.
So those guys
are just – you know, tough to count on and say I'm going to get 16 games out of them. But talent-wise, you know, they're among the best of the best. It's just they can't stay healthy.
So a priority for getting Darren McFadden would be bulking up your running back depth, which everybody's going to do anyway in fantasy football.
Sure.
But if you've got McFadden, you can go and spend a couple of other picks down the line on another running back. We just got done talking about Mike Goodson. That's a perfect guy to compliment McFadden two, three, four rounds later on draft day. Probably more like three or four.
All right, let's talk tight ends here. So the Boston Herald and ESPN ended up confirming that Gronkowski is battling a stubborn infection. So that was
his agent refuted it, though. Drew Rosenhaus refuted it.
He didn't necessarily refute it. He just said that that's not entirely true. I don't think he came. Did he come out and say he doesn't have an infection?
I just think he said we don't have any surgery scheduled. So.
Right.
That's probably his most defining.
I don't think they know.
Missing the start of the season.
There's a lot to worry about with Gronkowski, but you can kind of, you can almost sort of compartmentalize it based on expected outcomes. Number one, he doesn't have a staph infection. He shows up for training camp on time, plays in a preseason game before your fantasy draft. Everybody feels good about it. You're taking him with a late first, early second round pick. The other extreme from that. He doesn't come to training camp on time. He does have a staph infection. He needs another surgery, maybe even two, to get his left arm right. Misses the preseason. Question mark for week one. You know that you're not going to take him with your first round pick. You might not even take him with your second round pick. It's what I'm afraid is going to happen is something in the middle where, and this is the Patriots we're talking about. It's hard to get information about injuries out of them. Although the media with the Patriots now have started doing a better job of getting that information out quickly. He does have the surgery. He goes through the rehab. He's not on the PUP list for training camp. He doesn't play in a preseason game. And now it's your fantasy draft. And how high do you take him then? And I think that's the scenario that you have to think about now in the middle of the offseason in preparation for your draft, knowing that when August comes around, hopefully it won't be this situation.
I think unless he's ruled out for the early part of the regular season, there's no way he's getting past the middle round two.
But what if he's like this big question mark?
I still think you gamble on him. Mm-hmm. Right? People will gamble on him.
Well, a general question here. He's got these weird off-field things where he's kind of crazy. Parties, whatever. He's
body-slamming friends.
He's got a history now with the arm. So is he just a big risk in general? Like even if he's
healthy
going
in,
could he hurt the arm again? Exactly. Is he just kind of one of those guys that You've been hearing me say it all along how much I want to draft a tight end.
This is really his first significant injury, and thankfully it's nothing to his lower body. I know he had the ankle, but that was, you know, he didn't really force him to miss a lot of games.
Yeah.
And so this is really the first time that he's, you know, on your radar as an injury risk player. You know, so do you want to pass on him, as Dave said, toward the end of round one, beginning of round two? You know, let's just say you're picking 10th. Overall, you know, and you don't want to take Calvin in the first round. You're not sold on the Ridleys and the Morrises and those running backs. And you were hoping to take Gronkowski. Well, now do you pass on Gronkowski in round one, even pass on him round two if he doesn't get to you and just take Jimmy Graham? You know, I mean, the drop-off is not that far.
Well, you guys kept, as we look at the rankings, you kept Gronkowski one.
Well,
and
because
two.
What's the reason for pulling him down now?
You know, like even just to give you an example, just a behind-the-scenes look, you know, we're doing all the outlooks now for all the players, and this news happened over the weekend, and I said to Jeff Tobin, one of our managing editor here, you know, hey, should I rewrite the outlook for Rob Gronkowski? And, you know, we both came to the conclusion, well, there's nothing that's happened yet. He hasn't had the surgery. Nothing's been officially reported that he's going to miss time. So what are we telling people? You know, yeah. So
I get that was my question is like, even if he doesn't have this, even if he comes into the preseason healthy, whatever, do you just view him as a risk with the arm now going forward? Or you just, that's my
no,
question.
You know, the thing about it is, yes, he suffered a second break in the arm. Did he come back too soon last year to make sure he was ready for the playoffs and to help them, you know, for a Super Bowl run? You know, what if he had sat out until the end of the regular season, came back for the playoffs? Would we be in a totally different scenario right now? You know, I mean, he came back after 5 weeks last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just kind of how you have to
Did
look at it.
Did they say he came back too soon? Was that the general?
No, I mean, he came back in the, you know, I think it was a 5 to 7 week injury, if I remember it, when it happened. So,
right. I mean, I don't want to sound like a doctor here, but it was a broken arm, right?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, do you risk another break by coming back too early from a broken bone? You know what I mean? It's not like an ankle.
It sounds like that's what happened in the first place.
I don't know if he just broke his bone, healed, and he broke it again.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly what happened.
But yeah, so does it matter when he came back? He was obviously ready to come back. Not like he came back
too soon. Well, no, but that's, yeah, you could. I mean, it's still not completely.
I'm talking at my rear end. Sorry.
Completely healed.
Okay.
No, I think, look, if Rob Gronkowski, if it all signs point to he's ready to go for week one, forget about preseason, training camp, all those things. If he's ready to go week one, he's not getting past the middle round two.
All right, so let's break it down a little bit. You guys have Gronkowski 1, Graham 2. Nathan has the same rankings, but then it gets a little different. Aaron Hernandez 3rd for both of you, and get inside Nathan's head here. He has Witten 3, Gonzalez 4, Aaron Hernandez 5.
Hernandez is somebody that, depending on this Emmanuel Sanders situation, somebody that I really want a lot. And the more I look at the Patriots offense, the more excited I get about Aaron Hernandez. He's another guy that can't stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's his biggest issue. But when he's on the field, he's been very good.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little disappointing last year, just on a points per game basis.
Yep.
Because he played 10 games. Now, he did get hurt very early in one game, right?
He got hurt early
in
the Arizona game.
Yeah.
So I will say he played 9 games. And if
a couple of those games he played hurt, too.
Okay.
He averaged 9.9 fantasy points per week.
No, he averaged 7.8.
Not on what I'm looking at.
I saw him as having 78 points per game in 10 games. If you make that in 9 games, that's 8.67, which would have been good enough for 4th best over 16 games, for what it's worth.
Maybe I'm off.
Yeah, you mentioned something about Carson Palmer last week, which I thought was off also.
I'll give you my computer.
You're right. Okay. He did not average 9.9.
Anyway.
My mistake, guys.
Go ahead, Jamie. So you want him. Do you have him 3rd? And Dave, you agree?
Yeah, I just look at Hernandez. A, the value he's going to present if you don't take one of those tight ends early, which, again, I have no problem taking Gronk end of round one, early round two, depending on where I'm picking, in Graham in round two by any stretch. But Hernandez is probably going to fall to somewhere middle to end of round three, maybe even round four.
I think he could fall further than that.
I don't think he gets past round four. Round four has typically been when tight ends have started to come off the board.
Mm-hmm.
He is very injury prone, though.
He's extremely injury prone. And he burned me last year. I mean, I had him in a podcast league, and I had him in, I believe, a 14-team league. And it really, you know, you get leagues that are deep and smart owners. It's hard to find somebody, you know, you get lucky maybe with a Brandon Myers, but those guys don't come along very often.
All right. I said, what did I say, 9.9?
Something like that.
Yeah, 7.4. Does that sound right to you,
Adam?
I
had 7.8. 78 fantasy points in 10 games.
Okay. But you threw out a game.
Yes, which made it 8.67 fantasy points per game.
Okay.
Which was over 16 games, would have made him the
fourth
best
tight end. So that's probably right.
But not a lot of tight ends. People don't play 16 games that often. But anyway.
I just look at
why would Nathan have Hernandez 5th and Witten 3 and
it could
Gonzalez
be the injury.
4?
It could be the injury.
Yeah, right. Witten is so reliable.
Witten last year set a career high in catches. He had 110 catches. He's been, I think, since 2007, a top 5 tight end, I think, 5 of those years.
Right.
You know, so he's very consistent. The problem with Witten, clearly, is the touchdowns. He doesn't score touchdowns. He had 3 last year.
It's very strange.
He's way better in a PPR than he would be in a standard league, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think there's a sense of Jason Witten being like the Joe Flacco of tight ends. Like, he's not very exciting when you've got somebody like Jason Witten on your roster. Yeah, you're going to start him, and there's going to be some weeks where he's going to get 5 or 6 catches, 70 or 80 yards, and that's going to be it. He's not going to score very often. He had some great games last year. I'm just not sure exactly how many he's going to be able to keep contributing week after week after week. And there's not that there isn't much of like an upside thing, an upside factor for Jason Witten.
Unless he starts catching touchdowns.
Well, sure.
There's no reason why he shouldn't catch touchdowns, you know? It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, all right?
Yeah, they just don't use him in the red zone.
Jamie just had a coughing fit. Everybody's okay, though.
He's safe. He's the guy that you're going to look at and say, all right, Jason Witten, safe fantasy player. There's nothing else about it. I don't think he's gonna cough it up in the end zone.
Yeah, I don't think
he's gonna make fantasy owners sick.
The Cowboys always choke, you know.
Are you interested in his red zone stats from last year? He was targeted 14 times, 16 games.
Not
only caught 7 of them, 3 touchdowns, 64 yards.
The interesting thing about Witten is, remember last year he started with a lacerated spleen. You know, so 110 catches really came in about 14 games just when you look at his overall production.
Well, let's see.
So
he had 10, 21, 28 catches in his last 5, 31 catches in November. That was over 4 games. 43 catches in October.
Stand
that was also 4 games.
So when I look at these rankings, your top 5 in some order is Gronkowski, Graham, Hernandez, Gonzalez, Witten. In fact, for you guys, it's exactly that. And then Nathan has Witten, Gonzalez, Hernandez, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
Okay,
so it looks to me like Nathan thinks more of Witten in having a little bit more upside than Gonzalez and kind of saying, look, watch out with Aaron Hernandez because he's obviously an injury risk.
And then after that, that's, to me, where I see a huge drop-off. Do you guys agree? Dennis Pitta, number 6?
There's a drop-off after Graham and then another one after those other three, the Witten, Gonzalez,
yeah,
Hernandez
exactly.
crew.
All right, so then we're talking, in some order, Pitta, Vernon Davis, Antonio Gates, Kyle Rudolph, Greg Olson, Owen Daniels is 6 through 11. I wanted to ask you guys about, Pitta being 6, you obviously have some faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
But Davis and Gates. So Gates played in 15 games last year. He was the number 12 tight end in fantasy. Did you know that Vernon Davis has not missed a game in 5 years?
It's great. It's
incredible.
There were some weeks last year where you could have fooled me.
He finished the year with 6 games of 2 catches or less, and then he went crazy again in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl. Went crazy in the playoffs like he did 2 seasons ago.
Right. Yeah.
Fool me once. Shame on
you. During the regular season, he averaged 4.9.
Here's the thing. There's no Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
Which will help.
Mm. That's not as big of a factor as Anquan coming there.
Oh, interesting.
I think a big difference from last year to this year is that now opponents taking on the 49ers have so much to prepare for. They have to pick their poison with all the aspects of the San Francisco offense. You've got to not only worry about the passing game, which is improved with Bolden running good routes and being a good chain mover for him, Crabtree taking the next step. Obviously, Vernon Davis is explosive. But you also have to prepare for Kaepernick on the run. And, oh, yeah, they've got a running game behind one of the best offensive lines in football.
So you have,
if not the best.
So you have Davis 10th,
probably the best.
And Jamie has him 7th. So that would be a pretty big difference.
Yeah, it's just I guarantee you there's going to be weeks next year where he gets you nothing.
Okay.
He's going to have 1 catch for 7 yards. Bolden's going to have a touchdown.
But all
Crabtree
those
will have 100 yards. Kaepernick will be worth 20 fantasy points. And Vernon Davis will be just nauseating.
He makes a good point, though.
There are a lot
all
of other quarterbacks
tight ends
that
are
going to
be like that.
Right, but I mean, you just if you draft Vernon Davis, you have to be prepared for those types of weeks, and they came early and often. I mean, I'm looking at a 4 or 5 week span where all
yeah,
I had
but
was
you look
three
at what he was the year
less.
Before. He was still very good. 2 years before that, he was amazing. You know, so the
how about
still there.
How about just this? I'm sorry to cut you off, Jamie. He started the season hot. He had 4 games with 10 or more fantasy points in his first 5.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is he finally started to click with Kaepernick in the playoffs. And I think, that, again, that's something to build off of, along with no Delanie Walker there. So, you know, whereas their offensive line is so good, he doesn't have to block as much.
No.
You know, and so, and I also think, you know, while Bolden will take away some production, also help him because, you know, you got to pick your poison, you're going
to
cover.
Yeah, but I think defenses will pick to cover Vernon before they pick to cover Bolden.
Not if you're watching film of Colin Kaepernick from 2012 when he didn't use his tight end very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's this nonsense? Brandon Myers, 20th for you, Dave. 15th
yeah.
for Jamie.
What's, you know, I actually
I should probably move him up, but I don't love
I
him.
Just did the outlook for the Giants. And, you know, you look at what their tight end has been. You know, Bennett was very solid last year. He wasn't an elite fantasy option. You know, Jake Ballard the year before. Not an elite fantasy option, Shockey. You know, again, sort of fell in that mix, too.
Yeah.
I just don't know what you're going to get from Brandon Myers, you know, because it was his first good year. Can he do that again?
It's and weird that he's not a blocker.
That's my concern.
Their tight ends typically block pretty well.
So I mean, he's not a blocker.
He's not a good blocker. He's apparently one of the worst blocking tight ends in town.
It's not his forte.
Okay, Martellus Bennett or Jermaine Gresham?
I look at what Bennett did last year. You know, I always looked at Bennett in Dallas as one of those guys. Like, once he gets out of the shadow of Jason Witten, he's going to be good. You know, and I said that last year. Liked him with the Giants. Well, now you're seeing an opportunity where he goes to a team that can, you know, utilize his skills.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jay Cutler has been dying for a tight end.
So you went Bennett ahead of Gresham, but only one spot ahead.
And I've got Gresham ahead of Bennett. And
two spots.
After I projected Bennett, would you like another exclusive?
Oh, here we go.
Two exclusives in one podcast. Projections. I'll give them both. Martellus Bennett, 57, 636, and 7. A lot of touchdowns for Bennett. I think he's going to be used prominently. And Gresham, 67, 685, and 5. So judging right there on my projections, I like Bennett better than Graham. So my rankings are a sham.
Gresham.
What'd I say?
Graham.
Yeah, Gresham.
Take it easy there. I have to work on my
I'm going a mile a minute.
Exclusive music. That was pretty weak.
Let's hear it. Give me some new ones.
Bum ba dum dum ba dum bum. How's that?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
I like it.
Anything else on tight ends, or
best
shall we
thing
move
about
to...
that was you pulled that out of your wallet.
Yeah, exactly. Let me show you guys the...
How about a sleeper? Don't you want to talk about a sleeper tight end, maybe? Mm-hmm. For me, it's Jared Cook. And I think the commitment, the financial commitment St. Louis made to him, combined with the lack of receiving talent that they have in St. Louis, is going to put him on the map there, and I think he's going to get a lot of targets.
Sleeper?
Not Jared Cook.
Okay. How about Dustin Keller?
They're the same guy to me.
Okay, not a sleeper.
How about Dwayne Allen? You got him 14th.
Allen's a nice player. You know, I like the addition of Pep Hamilton.
Or no, you don't. You don't have him 14th.
Nathan, I think, has him.
You have 18th.
But I do like Dwayne Allen.
That's it for tight ends. They're boring. Let's move on to emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Cordy and Glenville is in a half-point PPR dynasty league. He can keep up to 5 players with no penalty. Would you make this trade? I give up Torrey Smith and Vernon Davis for Jimmy Graham.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Love it.
Congratulations, Corey.
Here's Evan in Minneapolis. Dear Fantasy, Howard, Leonard, and Sheldon. Yeah. No idea.
I think it's Big Bang.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Good call.
Sheldon's the one that jumped out to me. I don't watch the show, but I think that's what it
is. I was about to say, those are 3 loser names. Well, 2 of them are loser names. No offense, Leonard and Sheldon.
10-team standard scoring dynasty type league. We keep 8 players on the roster indefinitely without penalty. Trying to figure out who my keeper should be. Right now I'm keeping Tom Brad and Jamal Charles. Probably Tom Brady.
Whoa, you can't make fun of anyone for leaving off names. Jim Schwartz.
Did I spell it wrong? Oh.
You've spelled a ton of names wrong over the course of your career.
Yeah, that's a good point. So okay, Tom Brady and Jamal Charles. Okay,
he's
got to
pick
6
more.
Here we go. Blackman, Owen Daniels, Eric Decker, Garcon, T.Y. Hilton, Deshaun Jackson, Greg Jennings, MJD, Murray, Cecil Shorts, Torrey Smith, and Blair Walsh.
Really, Blair Walsh?
He says he's tempted. Okay, definitely MJD and Murray, right?
Yes.
So that's 2. Now we need 6. Let me read the names again for our listeners out there.
No, you only need...
You're right. We only need 4.
4 more after that.
Blackman and Shorts, Torrey Smith, Eric Decker, Pierre Garcon, T.Y. Hilton, Deshaun Jackson, Greg Jennings, and Owen Daniels. Give me 4.
I got my 4.
I got 3 of my 4. Let's see if these 3 match up. Decker.
Yep.
Hilton.
Yep.
Blackman.
Nope.
Really? I like the youth.
The 2 receivers.
Well, no.
We already kept the running
backs. Right,
back,
you
so
get 4.
More.
Oh, I'm
you
sorry.
You get to keep 8, not 6.
Gotcha.
So go ahead, pick 2 others.
Yeah, I'd go Decker, Hilton, Blackman, Garcon.
Right. Yeah, for me, it's a debate between Garcon and really Cecil Shorts. And yeah. I like Shorts, but I don't know if I want to keep 2 guys from the same team. So let's go with Garcon.
Garcon played 8 healthy games last year. 4 of them he had double digits in fantasy points.
Yeah.
Heavy D from Imperial, California, soon to be Reno, Nevada.
Oh, congratulations. Except you're
sounds
going
like a
to
downgrade,
Reno.
Right?
Yeah. We got our own thing.
Dear Lords of Dogtown, a.k.a. Stacy Peralta. I guess that's me. Jay Adams and Tony Alva.
Stacy could be a man.
Not the way that's spelled. What do you think? Actually, maybe. I.E.? Whatever. 16-team PPR league with IDPs in addition to offensive positions. Why is IDP not more popular in the fantasy football circle?
Because people don't want to think.
That is true, and that is why I don't play it, because I don't want to think. But also, it just seems hard and boring. Do you guys
it's
like
it? It's actually not boring. It is harder.
Do you enjoy it?
I love the draft because it's such a strategic part of it, you know, when you're going to take the first IDP player.
When do you
really? That's
usually go?
That's why you love it.
I do. I like the aspect of it.
When does the first IDP usually go?
It's usually you try and fill most of your offensive starters first. You know, you may leave depending on like the IDP league that we've done for years. We do three receivers and a flex, so you may leave one of those two spots, the third receiver, a flex option, or right. your tight end before you
that,
start.
The league that you're referencing is heavy on IDPs too. You've got to start two defensive linemen.
Three linebackers, two defensive backs,
yeah, and an flex. IDP flex.
Yeah.
So in that type of format, you do kind of need to keep in mind getting some good IDPs. Last year I went with a draft strategy in that league where I just punted on IDPs, and I was constantly shuffling through the waiver wire looking for good IDPs, and I might have been able to pick out two good IDPs that way. And the rest of my defense just didn't put up many points.
A lot of IDPs that we get questions on, it's usually you have one or two starters. You know, people like to just keep it simple.
And this is individual defensive players, just in case people aren't familiar. Who are some of the first ones that go?
Always usually middle linebackers or defensive linemen. Defensive linemen are so hard to find because teams that play 3-4 defenses.
Pass rushers.
You know, you Jared Allen's always a
so
top
guy. So J.J. Watt is going to be the first?
Yeah, J.J. Watt was a monster in IDPs.
Last year it was Jason Pierre-Paul was the guy everybody wanted to get, you know, coming off the year he had before. And then the middle linebackers that typically go are the guy, you know, like Patrick Willis is a guy that usually goes very early.
But
the,
again, that's assuming that tackles count in your IDP league. Because there are some leagues where they don't count.
Well, most of them do, though.
I agree.
Our standard IDP league.
It should.
If you can consider a standard.
And by the way, Stacy Peralta, the emailer spelled his name wrong, and Stacy is
Who the hell is that?
Who the hell is Stacy Peralta?
Yes.
He's a director, producer, and writer. Thank you.
Okay. Next email. Joe from Prophetstown, Illinois. Greetings, Howard, Vince, and Naboo.
And that would be.
I feel like I shouldn't even say this out loud. I feel like it's unintentionally inappropriate. I'm not going to say it. Our league has had three keepers, but recently voted to double that to six. I've been using redraft rankings to guide my keeper choices, but I'm wondering if I should start now considering dynasty rankings as well. It got me thinking of a general strategy question. For keeper leagues that allow a larger number of players kept, what is the typical breaking point where you should be paying more attention to dynasty ranking / IDP rather than redraft?
If it's a keeper league and not a dynasty league where you're looking long term, I would just use redraft.
But now he's got six keepers.
Right, you've got to...
It's still the same thing. I mean, what's the difference? You just had more keepers.
Well, then what's the difference between a dynasty league then?
Well, if you're keeping these guys forever, I guess. So I guess we'd have to know what the keeper rules are.
That's the way I gathered it. Can keep.
The problem with dynasty rankings is you don't know how they're ranked. You know, in a dynasty league, maybe that's not right. Because typically, in a dynasty league, you get a guy, he's yours until you decide to cut him.
Yep.
So maybe you just aim for younger players more than anything else. That's pretty obvious there. And you kind of cross off the names of anybody who's 30 or even 29.
Yeah, but again, you're also trying to win now.
Good thing I'm 28.
Yeah, no one's drafting you anyway. here's... Hate to tell you. But, you know, make sure that the dynasty rankings that you get are judged the same way that your dynasty league rules are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if your dynasty league rules say you get a guy, he's yours forever, make sure that the person creating those rankings has that guy's going with his rankings.
Right, right. Okay.
He ranks his players the same way as you keep yours.
Chris in Arlington, Virginia. Now, I have to Google a lot of things from the emails. I was disappointed that I had
like Howard Vincent Naboo.
Yeah, I had to Google something in this email, but not the greeting. Dear Aladdin, Jasmine, and the Genie. Very good. I can keep two, one, or none. The penalty is two rounds up from the 2012 draft position, and we can keep them until they are first or second round picks. Mm-hmm. So it is a 12-team half-point PPR league, two receivers, two running backs, one tight end, one flex. So Kaepernick in round 14, and that's 2013 value round 14.
So you'd be able to keep him for a 14th round pick.
Yes. Randall Cobb in the 10th round, Pierre Garçon 5th round, Torrey Smith in the 6th round, Dwayne Bowe in the 3rd, Aaron Hernandez in the 4th, Fred Davis in the 7th, Martellus Bennett in the 13th.
You could have stopped after the first two.
Yeah, so it's you can keep 2-1 or none.
Yeah, you're keeping Kaepernick and Cobb.
Agreed.
And he says, oh, and HTTR, which I had to Google.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pathetic.
Yeah. You know it? Mm. You do?
Really? I'm sorry I said pathetic. Of course I know that.
Hail to the Redskins.
Oh, Arlington, Virginia.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have known this by HTTR.
What? You wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have known
him. Yeah,
I do good, radio in D.C. I've got all these guys who ask me questions, and they put HTTR.
Thought he was calling me a hater.
In the like hashtag HTTR.
All right, so you cheated, Dave.
Well, the first time I saw HTTR, I didn't know what it was, and then once I figured it out like 3 years ago, I knew it forever.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
And someday when I die, I'm still going to know what HTTR is.
We'll talk to you all next week. Send us your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Congratulations on making it through the podcast. I thought we had a pretty good podcast after the first.
Actually, I thought the first 4 minutes were the best.
Really?
Yeah, we should do it more often like that.
You want to just have like a free-for-all next week where all we do is just
I thought the first two versions of it were better.
I think if we had a free-for-all for 30 minutes or whatever, people actually would enjoy it.
But they wouldn't get their fantasy football fix.
All right, so if we did a second podcast 1 week and it was just us.
I've wanted to do that before.
If we get enough,
yeah, but you wouldn't disclose anything that would be of interest.
Maybe we would have to.
Like I'm an open
like
book. I'll say anything. Dave, I think for the most part is you would be. I'm not going to discuss that with my coworkers.
I don't talk about who I date at work. Not that you date anybody at work. I'm just saying
I don't
you're
date
dating
anybody
life.
At work.
No, you don't.
Okay, that's it.
I just don't feel comfortable answering that question right now. Can we just move on? Can we just move on, please?
That is not how I would say it. I would never say I don't feel comfortable answering that question. I would probably just get really angry at you and be like, shut up about answering that question.
And then as soon as you turn off the podcast, expletives will come out of your mouth.
Oh, 100%.
Like you've been in the Navy for 21 years.
Okay.
Which former UM assistant would you rather play for, Greg Schiano or Rob Chudzinski?
I know my answer.
Greg Schiano or Mike Chudzinski?
Oh, Rob Chudzinski.
Rob Chudzinski. I was thinking Mike Rice for some reason. Rob Chudzinski.
Me too.
100%. After I read that Yahoo...
Especially if I'm an offensive player.
After I read that Yahoo article about Greg Schiano and how big of a jerk he is, I didn't want to play for him anymore. It had always been my dream.
Which baseball clubhouse would you rather get thrown out of, the Marlins or another team?
The Marlins. What do those kids do to get thrown out?
If that means I don't ever have to go back into the clubhouse...
What do those people do to get thrown out of the Marlins game?
It was a friend of mine, and he was asking questions about the crowd.
Oh, but there were also some... All right, goodbye. That's it.
See you later.